Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. Could you hear me, Fred?
Yep.
All right. Just want to make sure my microphone was on. Didn't know who heard me exactly. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program. Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. I just mentioned Fred without giving you a full introduction. Good morning.
Good to be here.
And Walker Wildman is walking into the studio now, so he's going to get our Facebook page revved up and going. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. I was actually doing another interview with Engage Radio, which is a division of AFA. So that's why I'm running last minute into the studio.
What were you talking to them about?
About our recent action alert on the Trump.
Oh, religious liberty?
Yeah, on the potential executive order.
We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Ray Pritchard joins us Tuesdays and Thursdays when available, and Ray is with us today from Dallas. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Everything's well here, and I assume in Dallas, nice day.
It was 70 degrees on Tuesday. It's 34 degrees this morning.
Wow.
We are riding the roller coaster.
Yeah, we had that 40. Well, most of the country did because that cold front that came through had a 40 degree temperature drop in, 12 hours or less?
It did, basically. That's right. Yeah.
Well, much to talk about today. We've got some things we're going to play for you here that you're going to – some comments by Senator Marco Rubio later in the program. So we better get to it. First of all, Fred, I guess the big news is Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama was confirmed. True?
He is finally confirmed, and the swearing-in will take place very shortly, we are told.
As Attorney General.
Attorney General of the United States. It has been a rough ride if you've been following the news over the last several weeks. And even up until just about 48 hours ago when the Democrats were holding 24-hour sessions, round-the-clock condemnation sessions against Senator Sessions in the U.S. Senate. But despite all of that, the vote came in last night. One Democrat voted with the Republicans on Senator Sessions.
Who was that?
That was Senator
Joe Manchin.
Joe Manchin, yes.
From West Virginia, who where Trump won by, 80%?
Yes, the coal mining country there. And so, it's just amazing to me, and we're going to be talking about this morning, the toxic environment that's out there right now, the hatred being driven by Democrats for everything Donald Trump. I mean, he can't do anything. The only thing they would praise him for now if he resigned. But, everything he says, everything he does is just terrible for the country. The American people aren't buying it. We were talking earlier this morning, Politico poll, Walker, you were mentioning to me, majority of Americans think Donald Trump is doing a good job. They
the
like
majority,
what he's,
really?
Yeah. They like what he's doing. And this is amazing.
A slight majority.
But still, given the mainstream media, part of this hatred of Donald Trump, that also tells me that many Americans, most Americans, maybe a small majority, they're not buying the mainstream media anymore. And that's bad news for the NBCs and the CBSs and the CNNs of this world.
Yeah. Specifically over the temporary immigration travel ban, you saw much hysteria, freak out, the world's ending, this is the end of our Constitution as we know it. But you see the Politico poll that we're talking about, and 55% of the people who took the poll approved of the temporary travel ban. And so when you watch the news, you would think that 15% of America approved of the travel ban, and the other 75-85% disapproved, but that's not the case.
Right. What do you think about all this?
Well, I think Fred framed it exactly right. We are in such a divided situation. And, Mr. Trump, when he does something really good, it's not just that the left is going to spin it. It's, as Fred said, he can't do anything right in their eyes. And it's pretty shocking to me, this thing with Jeff Sessions, to see, I mean, the Senate is supposed to be a collegial body, right, where decorum and friendship prevails and so on. There was exactly one Democratic senator who voted for Jeff Sessions, who is eminently qualified to be attorney general. A shocking and sad display of how divided our nation has become.
Yeah, and you know, the thing about it is, and by the way, congratulations to Senator Sessions. He is going to be a wonderful attorney general. He was smeared and maligned by the left, the Democrats. They basically called him everything but the Grand Wizard of the KKK.
Yeah.
That was probably going to be today if they'd have had more time to malign the man. This Senator Sessions has been in the Senate for how long, Fred? Like three. I want to say
he's been a fixture of
20
the
years.
Yeah,
yes.
He's been in there
right.
a long time.
You know
time.
What? The thing about it is, all these senators, if you've been there that long, they all know him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's only 100 people.
Right.
They all know each other personally, probably pretty well. They've all served on committees and talked and so forth. Ray, they know these people accusing him of being a racist. They know he isn't.
You know, one of the things interesting is there was a report yesterday after the vote that a number of the Democratic senators who voted against him came up and congratulated him nonetheless, just showing the hypocritical nature of our political system.
Right.
So you vote against a guy who's your colleague,
right,
to toe the party line, and then you go up and, you know, slap him on the back and say, "Hey, good luck. I'm proud of you."
Right. Sorry I had to call you racist up there, man, but you know how it is.
You know how it is. That's right. Yeah.
Sorry. I had to lie about you.
Right.
But, you know,
I lied about you.
But don't take that personally.
Yeah. We're still buds, right?
That's right.
Slander your name to the world, but, you know, hey, what about you want to go out to dinner Friday night?
That's right. Let's hang out this weekend.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Senator Sessions will be an outstanding attorney general, as I heard somebody say last night. Nobody's been more qualified probably in the last 50 years to be attorney general. He served as a U.S. attorney. He was the state attorney general in Alabama. He's been a three or four time elected United States senator.
Yeah.
He is very well versed in the law, mm-hmm. as you would expect. He's very articulate. He's very thoughtful. He's very logical. So I think, and he's been outstanding on the problem of what to do about illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a big issue of his. He's basically been alone in the United States Senate on this in terms of speaking out. Go ahead.
Life News.
Besides Ted Cruz.
Life News, a pro-life group last night. Notes, Sessions has a 100% pro-life voting record and a history of strong opposition to abortion and the Roe Supreme Court case. And he did not back away from that.
Mm-mm.
He did not back away from it during the nomination process. When he was questioned about it by Democrats, he did not back away from it. Did not back away from his opposition to Roe v. Wade. He's a man of solid, solid character.
Yeah.
Let me just say, related to Senator Sessions, and I think Senator Sessions, now Attorney General Sessions, will be great for the First Amendment and religious freedom, the Second Amendment, all the amendments, the Constitution. I think he'll be great for the Constitution. But let me just, while we're at it here, real quickly, I mean American Family Association and American Family Radio, are trying to get as many people as we can to sign our petition urging President Trump to sign a religious liberty executive order. This has been proposed. It's, copies of a drafted executive order on religious liberty are out there. I don't know if the White House wanted those to be leaked to the public, but what we saw was excellent. President Trump has been issuing executive orders, and he's promised to defend religious liberty. I think he really means that. So we're asking people to sign our petition, and we're going to take them to the White House if if we have time before the executive order is signed,
right?
Assuming it is signed. Basically, this is to Walker. You want to give us just a 60-second overview of what this executive order would do and why it's necessary?
Yeah, this executive order would essentially. You've noticed in the past few years, you've had these bakers, these florists. In certain states, photographers, people using their talents for business, for personal business, being attacked or sued or even put out of business because they refused to participate in specifically marriage ceremonies of same-sex couples because it violates their religious beliefs. Well, also at a federal level, you've seen the Hobby Lobby case where the Obamacare law was essentially going to force Hobby Lobby, which is a faith-based company, to provide abortifacients to their employees.
Abortifacients,
yes. to their employees. And so what this executive order will do is it will prevent the government from coercing people of faith and organizations of faith from violating their religious beliefs.
Amen. You did good. I don't know if that was 60 seconds, but that was, maybe that was
terrific.
Yeah, it was an excellent explanation. So this is important. And you can go to AFA.net and sign it, right, Walker?
That's correct.
AFA.net and sign it. In less than 24 hours, we had over 55,000 people, I think.
Yeah, we're almost at 60,000 now.
AFA.net.
And there's a sense of urgency to this.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that President Trump is under a lot of pressure from the homosexual community not to sign that. They're also aware of this.
Right. Right.
And he's getting a lot of pressure, even from some members of his family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I've said all along, and I said this yesterday, President Trump has been very friendly to the Christian community, and he's already done a lot of wonderful things, including the Supreme Court nomination and Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, and if Tom Price can be a cabinet-level position of Health and Human Services, that would be wonderful. So He gets a lot of it. The part that Donald Trump, I'm not so sure, understands is the attacks of the LGBT activist groups against the Christian community, as Walker just referenced a few minutes ago. He's not lived that. He's not experienced that. And so you see what I'm saying? So on that issue, he's going to have to be convinced that this is necessary. This executive order. And I think he can be, if he isn't already, be convinced that this is necessary. But it doesn't hurt to have 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, a million people who supported you, many of whom supported you and voted for you, to tell you this is important to them. That's why we're doing this. Ray, go ahead.
Tim, what time frame are we
thinking? 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah, I think talking to somebody who should know, who's in touch with the White House, that we should see something within 2 weeks. Again, and it has been widely reported that Ivanka Trump and her husband, what's his name?
Jared Kushner.
Yeah. Are against this. So they're I don't know why exactly. They're practicing Jews, but, you know, they live in New York, and that's New York values, I guess you could say. That's what we've heard.
Right,
that they are opposed to this for whatever reason. But we'll see what happens. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, what are we putting on our Facebook page?
Well, thus far I've posted the OneNewsNow.com article about Senator Jeff Sessions, which is now Attorney General Sessions, his swearing-in ceremony, etc., the news on that. And also on our Facebook page I posted the action alert, the call to action, which people can sign this petition, urging and asking President Trump to sign this executive order we've been discussing.
Fred, what do you got next?
Well, as proof of what we've been talking about, we were mentioning the kind of toxic environment that's out there right now, and it showed itself again with regards to the debate inside the Senate. Senator Tim Scott, Republican senator, the lone African-American Republican senator, he's from South Carolina. He got up, and in his speech, he noted how he has been attacked personally by the left, by other black African Americans, over his stand in favor of Jeff Sessions. And we have a little bit of his speech from the Senate that we would like to play you. So in his own words.
Who are we hearing now?
We're hearing Senator Tim Scott.
Of South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Go on to read from folks who wanted to share their opinions about my endorsing Jeff Sessions. You are a disgrace to the black race. Anthony Burnham at Burnham R says, you are an Uncle Tom Scott. You're for Sessions. How does a black man turn on his own? Anthony B. from at Political Art says, Senator Tim Scott is not an Uncle Tom. He doesn't have a shred of honor. He's a house Negro, like the one in Django. He also writes, I guess Anthony Burnham has been fairly active recently on my Twitter feed, I'm a complete horror. A black man who's a racist against black people. A big Uncle Tom piece of fertilizer. Think for yourselves. You are a disgrace to your race. I left out all the ones that use the N-word. Just felt like that would not be appropriate. You see, what I'm surprised by, just a smidgen, is that the liberal left that speaks and desires for all of us to be tolerant do not want to be tolerant of anyone that disagrees with where they are coming from. So the definition of tolerance isn't that all Americans experience a high level of tolerance, it's that all Americans who agree with them experiences this so-called tolerance.
That was Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina, African-American Republican, talking about the emails and calls and such that he's received calling him an Uncle Tom because he supported Jeff Sessions' nomination for Supreme Court. Wow, that was...
Can you imagine for a moment if this just reversed the roles, that he was a Democrat, just reverse everything? Republicans on the attack against a nomination from Barack Obama for Attorney General. Just reverse the roles for a second. The mainstream media would be going ballistic and they'd be quoting Senator Tim Scott. You know what? I could barely find anything on this speech by Senator Tim Scott.
Really?
I couldn't find any videos by the Associated Press. I couldn't find, where are the headlines in the Washington Post? This man, he's an African American, but because he is a conservative, because he endorsed Jeff Sessions, he is under fire from the black community on the left. He is under fire from white people, and racist terms are being used against him.
Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely amazing and goes to several points. Number one, this is about hatred for anything conservative, period.
Mm-hmm.
This is about racism against conservative black people in this country.
Right.
They are being persecuted by their own and by white people.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you heard.
You know, Fred, this goes exactly to Trump's point about the dishonest mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Scott's an eloquent man.
Yeah.
He is an excellent senator. So he gets up and he exposes the hatred that he's received. And as you said, it receives zero coverage. That's dishonest. That is the dishonest media that Trump has been talking about.
You're listening to today's issues. What do you think about this situation between, well, there's this senator, Richard Blumenthal. He is a Democrat from, where is he, from Connecticut? Or
right.
Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch goes and meets with He's meeting with all the senators that he can and are willing to, meeting them one-on-one in preparation for his hearings before the Senate to be the next Supreme Court justice. That's the nominee that President Trump has put forward. The gentleman's name, he's a federal judge from Colorado. You've heard about him by now, Judge Gorsuch. Wonderful judge. Five stars on the religious freedom, pro-life, everything we want. I think this gentleman represents much like Antonin Scalia. So this is a promise kept by President Trump on promoting a really good conservative pro-life judge to the Supreme Court. Well, the Senator Richard Blumenthal, I guess, Fred, asked Judge Gorsuch, how do you feel about President Trump's comments about the judge in Seattle calling him a so-called judge? Mm-hmm. And then Blumenthal, the senator, went out and told the public, mm-hmm. I guess, that George Gorsuch had said of President Trump's comments that they were demoralizing and what?
And demoralizing disheartening.
Yeah, well, first of all, did Judge Gorsuch say that? He may have said that. I don't know.
There's a couple of things here. Here's the context.
Okay.
Yesterday, as part of the nominating process, Judge Gorsuch was being taken around to visit with Democrats yesterday. And he visited with a bunch, and one of them he visited with was Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat from Connecticut. Apparently, he was probably asked by Senator Blumenthal, what do you think of President Trump's comments about the judge in Washington State, so-called judge? Now, what we're hearing this morning from Kellyanne Conway, who is special advisor to President Trump, I think most people know who she is by now. She was asked about this on Fox this morning. She did not deny that Judge Gorsuch said these comments, demoralized and disheartening. But here's the context in all of this. She said, you know, General Mathis disagreed with Donald Trump on torture. Remember? Very public about that.
Waterboarding.
Right. President Trump doesn't have a problem if some of his nominees disagree with him. He doesn't have a problem with that. He doesn't put gag orders out there. And so it may be the case, Kellyanne Conway did not deny that Judge Gorsuch said this. She did not deny that. She's making the point, so what? He's being honest.
Yeah.
And that ought to be a praise for President Trump's nominees, that he doesn't mind if those people he nominates for various things disagree with him. He is not going to come out and say, that's it, I'm removing the nomination.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this is after Blumenthal claimed that Gorsuch said this and that, Blumenthal's office, Senator Blumenthal's office, pressured Gorsuch's spokesperson to issue a public statement bashing Trump's handling of this immigration thing. But that's how politicized the left would like our Supreme Court to be. Mm-hmm. Supreme Court nominees and Supreme Court justices are not supposed to be weighing in on individual political cases in the public. That's why you don't hear much from Supreme Court justices. And I would think the same rule should apply to people being nominated to the Supreme Court.
George, go ahead, Ray.
Well, they have put him, that is Judge Gorsuch, in a terrible position. And the Democrats intended to do that, right? I mean, he gave a statement later to Kelly Ayotte basically saying that he was simply commenting that it is disheartening and demoralizing to hear any judge question a more generalized comment that Blumenthal evidently turned into a direct attack on President Trump.
Blumenthal, the Democrat senator from Connecticut, wasn't he the one who said he served in Vietnam and he didn't?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a pretty big, I don't know what Gorsuch did, but it can't be as bad as lying about serving.
That's right.
Vietnam. They're trying to pit Gorsuch against the gentleman, President Trump, who named him to be the. I think this will pass over.
It
won't be a big deal. And we will be back in a minute. We've got other stories to talk about. I want you to hear the comments from Senator Marco Rubio from the Senate floor last night. We'll talk about that in a few minutes as well. Stay with us.
You can use this information right here.
Tim Wildman discusses life's most important issues.
So you could have a sea turtle alive out there right now that was here during the Civil War.
It's like getting a university degree.
Kind of.
Tell the world.
Here's What's the question, Ed? How wide is the wingspan of the world's largest roach species?
Listen to the Trivia Friday edition of Today's Issues, Friday mornings at 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Trivia Friday. Woo.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we've been leading these tours to Washington, D.C. for almost 20 years, and we've never had a response like we've had this year. We're going to fill up early for both our June and our September Spiritual Heritage Tours. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way, taking your questions and interacting with the group. We're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown as well on a separate tour that just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon Spiritual Heritage Tour. So, if you'd like to go on one or both of these trips, you can find out all the information, all the details at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. 2017 may be your year to join us on one of these Spiritual Heritage Tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch says President Trump's comments about the judiciary are disheartening and demoralizing. You want to know what else is demoralizing? Illegal aliens who kill American citizens. Radical Muslims waging jihad in the heartland. That's demoralizing and disheartening, too. And you want to know what else is demoralizing? Judges who turn their courtrooms into throne rooms, issuing edicts and decrees that put Americans in harm's way. The president is absolutely correct. The courts seem to be so political because they are so political. President Trump is just saying what we all know is true. The U.S. Ninth Circuit Court is a bunch of sorry so-and-sos who have a strong aversion to God, guns, and presidents who want to make America great again. Now, I don't mean to curdle your Fruit Loops, America, but it just has to be said. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. I want to especially say hello to our new listeners in the Lexington, Kentucky area. We've been on the air there now about a month. We're fairly new in Montgomery, Alabama. Hello to folks listening in the Montgomery area. American Family Radio, there are multiple ways to listen to American Family Radio. Aren't there, Walker?
There are several
ways
to listen
to AFR. We're high-tech, people. We are high-tech here. Tell them, Walker.
If you have a smartphone, which means an iPhone, an Android, et cetera, you can download our AFR app, and it's free. You can listen to it 24/7. You can also read some of our articles there. Or you can go to afr.net, listen live there, listen to previous shows. Or
we have podcasts, too.
We have podcasts there also. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to the Today's Issues Facebook page and watch the show live there.
Here's what's neat about the app for your smartphone. You can plug it into your car radio, and you can travel from coast to coast, from border to border in this country now, and listen to American Family Radio.
That's right.
And we have people who do that, truck drivers.
Yeah.
Tell us. You know, they're listening to us, and they're rolling along, you know, 1,800, 2,000 miles across the country.
Yeah.
And they're able to listen to us now.
Ray, I believe you were traveling to Ukraine and you listened on your computer.
That's right. I was tuned in to American Family Radio just before Christmas. I was speaking over there doing some teaching, and it was far other side of the world from the AFR studios, but I had the app on my smartphone. Walker, it works it just as well in Ukraine as it does in the U.S. You just push on the little button there on the app, and boom, the AFR broadcast came in Ukraine just as clear as if I'd been anywhere in America. So what we're saying, folks, is wherever you are on this great big globe, if you've got internet access, you can listen to AFR 24 hours a day.
So take advantage of the app. That'll also work on an iPad or some other mobile device,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Not just your phone. It takes about 30 to 60 seconds usually to download the app, and then you can, as Ray said, listen to American Family Radio, clear as a bell, anywhere in the world where you have internet access. Check out our Today's Issues Facebook page and where we live video stream the show, Today's Issues Facebook page, and then the AFR.net website, AFR.net. American Family Radio, I don't know, we got 180-something stations.
Yeah, 184.
184 radio
stations.
Are we
on in Jacksonville yet?
No. Well, we are on an AM signal.
Okay.
But
pretty soon.
Pretty soon, in the next month, we'll be on in Jacksonville, Florida, covering all of Jacksonville, Florida. So we're going and growing, and we appreciate everybody who listens to American Family Radio across the country. We were listed, by the way, as by the George Barna firm, as I think number 6 or 7 most influential media outlets affecting the Christian community during the election. It was my name that was put there, but I'm not. It's really referring to the influence of American Family Association, American Family Radio. Did you see that, Ray?
I sure did, Tim. And you know, I mean, you had Fox News and some of the other huge
right.
outlets, but your name was on there. American Family Radio was on there
right.
as one of the top sources that socially concerned conservatives listen to. So, folks, thank you for tuning in and making AFR
Amen.
One of the most influential voices on the conservative side of the spectrum
Amen.
Across America.
Amen.
Yeah, if I can for 1 minute, I would like to bring up India Partners real quick, which is what AFR is partnering with India Partners this week and next week.
The India Partners is a Christian ministry
yeah.
that does work in...
In India, yes, India. Sir. India Partners, what they do is, India Partners has what they call safe houses in the red light districts of Mumbai, India, which is where prostitution and some other things go on, which is horrible. But they set up these safe houses for women and children, and they essentially rescued these women and children out of the red light districts of Mumbai, India. And AFR is partnering with India Partners this week and next week, and here's what we're providing. For $7, our supporters, our listeners, can provide one night of safety for these women and children. And for $50, we can provide a week of safety for these women and children. And here's what you can do to help these women and children out and to provide nights of
in
safety.
In the red light district over there. And what was the town that this is?
Mumbai, India.
Mumbai.
Yeah, it's
huge
it's
city.
Known. It's a huge city. It's known for its prostitution and trafficking. But
these people are hopeless, basically.
Yeah.
But without Christ, we all are hopeless. But the Christian ministry there. So we're promoting them, trying to help. We've done this three years.
Yeah, a couple of years, and not only do we provide nights of safety, we share the gospel
Amen.
With these children and these women.
I heard a great testimony yesterday from a young girl. It was by way of translation, of course, who was rescued from this red light district, and. You know, she was expressing how thankful she was. She has a clean, safe place to go.
Mm-hmm.
But most important of all, she had accepted Jesus Christ as her
wow.
Savior. So,
yeah, and I believe, Brent, we have some audio. You want to play one of those?
I had no freedom. In fact, every night was the same story, the same beatings, the same abuse. In the brothel area, I requested the social workers to pray for me so that my troubles and my torments would come to an end. They suggested that if I want, I could come out of that area and could live in a safe place. And so they took me out and brought me in a safe place. In that safe place, I'm learning to stitch clothes. I want to go out and start working And this was my dream always, to be able to stand on my feet, to earn a living, to be independent, to live a dignified life.
Well, that's if people want to give $7, $14, $21, whatever, to help us reach these women and children in Mumbai, with we're partnering with what's the name of the ministry?
India Partners.
So what do folks need to do?
They can call. Here's the phone number. I'll take it slow. 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. You can call in, talk to one of our operators, and donate to this India Partners project. Or you can go to afr.net, do a simple, secure online donation there.
Okay, and $7.
One night of safety.
And by the way, we've sent our staff over there to eyeball the work, so I know that we can verify, vouch for the actual work that's being done there in the name of Jesus. We do partner with groups throughout the year, two, three, four different groups for various reasons, that a lot of them doing the work around the world beyond our borders here. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We have a situation out in, is it Arizona, Fred?
Yes.
Tell us involving ICE and an illegal immigrant.
Yes.
What happened?
This involves a woman. Her name is Guadalupe Garcia de Reyes. She
36 years old.
She's 36 now. She came into the country illegally, I think, when she was 12, 13 years old. And she has been reporting to ICE through the years, especially in recent years. And because there has been a change in the people who are being deported, she was taken into custody by ICE. They were moving her to, I believe, a holding area last night, and there was a huge protest outside this police station or ICE facility, whatever the case may be. But this is another case of where there are now millions of people living in this country illegally, that the hands of ICE to deal with them, to deport people, have been tied primarily by the Obama administration, obviously, over the last 8 years. But that is changing. With the Trump presidency, we're widening the scope of people who can be deported for living in this country illegally. And, of course, this is getting a lot of attention. You may have seen the picture in mainstream media this morning of this woman in the back of this van being driven away from this detention area. So it's just another story, and, of course, it's going to raise all kinds of sympathy out there. She has a couple of children living in this country. But the bottom line is, and that she committed another crime along the way, which is why she's now put in a different category. But the bottom line in all of this is that Trump is finally moving on dealing with the people that ICE, our immigration people, know are in the country illegally and are taking steps to deport them. And, of course, the stories out there are sympathizing with her case that she should be allowed to stay in the country.
Well, she's 36 years old. I don't understand, Ray, maybe you know her, Fred Walker. This lady, Garcia de Reyes, the article I'm looking at, the Fox News, and maybe ours does too, says she had to check in with ICE. ICE stands for Immigration
Customs.
Customs Enforcement?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So they handle people here illegally, go through ICE to be deported. True?
Correct.
That she had to check in with ICE every 6 months following a 2008 conviction for felony identity theft for having false papers. Now, this is where we enter bizarro land for me. Okay. This is where you lose me. And I have a heart, like anybody does, for people. They're human beings but I have a heart for people, and I understand wanting to come to America, you know, to have a better life. But here's the part that I don't understand, Ray.
Yeah.
How can you have a woman who is here illegally, and she can go to the ICE office every 6 months to say, to check in, whatever that means, because she's been convicted of a felony.
Shouldn't she have been sent deported? Back years ago? Right?
Yes, she should have been.
But why not? But this is what President Obama, and I don't know if President Bush's administration took this seriously either. This is, what's the point of having ICE?
Right.
If you can come and be a felon and just check in and every 6 months and say, hey, I'm good, and then and you're illegal. So, Ray, you want to explain that to me? explain that to me, Ray.
Well, there's the politics and there's the law, right? Isn't it correct to say that by the law, if she was convicted, I mean, Fred, you said she was found guilty,
well,
right?
She had fraudulent pay. I assume that she had fraudulently obtained a Social Security number, a driver's license, a green card, which, as we dealt with
That's
the other
felony.
Day, the pro tem of the Senate in California, Mr.
Right.
DeLeon, the other day said,
right.
Yeah, it's common. They all have
half
these fraudulent
my family, papers. Right?
Yeah,
right.
Half my family.
So I mean, when people say with frustration, Americans say that our border is not secure and that nobody's stopping the flood of illegal immigrants into our country. This is what they're talking about here. If you can be here illegally, and you can go to the ICE office, and check in. Without being deported, then the laws are not being enforced.
Well, just imagine another scenario, a comparison here. Somebody, a guy breaks out of prison, all right? But so they catch up with him. The judge says, well, all you have to do, you don't have to go back to prison. You just have to check in with police every 6 months and let them know that you're still out there, even though you broke out of prison. Just check in with police every now and then, and we're not going to send you back.
Now let me. Yeah, no. Who? What kind of story is it?
What?
Let me ask you this, though, Fred. Let me ask you this. But now, with the new administration, the Trump administration, she will probably be deported. Is that true?
Because she was found guilty of committing a felony. She has fraudulent documents.
Right. But now people are in the streets.
Protesting. Oh, we can't send her back. She's right. Got a couple of kids. She's been here a long time.
You can send her children with her, can't you? I don't know. You know what? We can't fix everybody's problem when they create one. I get tired of you wanting to enforce the law and order in the land for whatever reason, whether
sure.
whatever
sure.
the crime may be, and then somebody always comes back to you and says, "Oh yeah, but what about their children?"
They emotionalize it.
Yeah,
they try to guilt trip you into saying you don't have passion if you're not for people breaking the law. And the fact is that actually there are other people impacted and hurt by illegal immigration than the illegal immigrants. There are criminal illegal immigrants who have murdered American citizens on U.S. soil because ICE has failed to deport them under the Obama administration.
And so really this is a problem that is not caused by the Trump administration. It's handed down
right.
from years of
right.
especially the Obama administration. We've simply inherited a problem of years of refusal to
right.
enforce
yes.
our own laws.
And that led, you could argue that was the number one reason why President Trump is now president, but Donald Trump is now President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
when he took off, when his numbers took off, is when he said build a wall. Before
right.
that, he was just like any of the other Republican candidates. But when he said build a wall, in other words, protect our country's borders, that's when his numbers took off. So this is
you know, and if you Tim, if somebody wants to argue, well, the optics are terrible. I agree. I would much rather that the first person deported be a drug dealer, right? Somebody that had committed burglary, and there are plenty of those people out there who have done that. It's a bad thing, but a felony is not the same thing as a misdemeanor either. She's not being deported for having too many parking violations. This is a felony. So when you commit a felony, and the law finally decides to act, you're going to be arrested and probably deported. And it is sad for her and her family, but this is the result of years, years and years of refusal by the government to enforce our own laws.
Well, you know what, By the way, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. The question when it comes to illegal by the way, this fits in with a story involving Max Lucado and Tim Keller, two very prominent evangelical leaders, and others. There was an ad in the newspaper yesterday, the Washington Post, one of the largest, most prestigious newspapers in the country, and it was basically being critical of President Trump's temporary refugee ban on seven countries, wasn't it? Fred, tell us about this.
Yeah, 100, this is the headline from CNN, 100 evangelical leaders sign ad denouncing Trump's refugee ban. Let us be clear once again. This is taking a break for 90 days, this executive order, taking a break for 90 days from people who are from seven countries.
Right.
Seven countries. We want to make sure that we can assess people properly coming from these countries because there are bad guys. Countries such as Iran, chief sponsor of terrorism in the world. We want to be careful. All right, so now these evangelical leaders have joined the Democrats in condemning this 90-day window.
What did they say? It's a statement, and then you got a bunch of signatures under it.
Yes.
Basically being critical of President Trump's temporary refugee ban.
Yeah. They're urging President Trump to reconsider his executive order and welcome people fleeing persecution and violence. They're making it sound like it's forever. It's not.
And they also, Max Lucado's name's on this. He's one of the most well-known.
And we verified this.
Yeah. With his office?
Yes, I had a phone call in the newsroom yesterday from a lady who said she called Max Lucado's office. And she said they couldn't verify it, but we did. Walker, you verified it yesterday.
Yeah, I talked to his secretary, and she said he did sign the letter.
Yes.
And we asked him to come on American Family Radio, and he's conveniently taking a several-month sabbatical and is not doing interviews until this summer.
And also another well-known evangelical you mentioned, Tim Keller from New York.
Yeah.
He has signed that.
Yeah, and I need to mention, this is all based off of a false premise.
Yes.
This entire letter, the outrage, it's all based
off. Where can people read this?
A false premise.
Have you posted this yet?
No, that's a CNN article.
Can we post that?
Yeah, I'll post it.
Yeah.
But the point I want to make is that this letter that some of these, quote, evangelical leaders has signed on to claims, it insinuates that President Trump is blocking all refugees and all immigrants into the United States for indefinitely. And that is not true. He blocked seven countries out of hundreds of countries from coming into the United States for a maximum of 120 days.
Yeah.
Right. And what?
And even most Muslim countries are not included in the ban, right?
Indonesia, Pakistan, they're not included in
Saudi Arabia.
The problem I have with this, again, these are evangelical Christian leaders who are basically
quote
condemning or criticizing President Trump's temporary travel ban by refugees, or as Fred and Ray and Walker just described. Walker, where can people go in? Do you have a story on this?
It's on CNN published the story you're reading right there.
Yes.
Okay, but we have something at OneNewsNow.com.
We can do the link on OneNewsNow to that.
Because I want people listening to be able to go and get this information for themselves.
Yeah, unfortunately, when you try to copy it off, you don't get the letter, the copy of the 100 names that are on that. But if you go, we'll do a link to the story.
Yeah.
You can read for yourself all the names of all the evangelicals who have signed this letter.
Here are some of the... I mentioned some of the signees include Pastor Timothy Keller of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York. A lot of people listening know who he is. He signed this. Ann Voskamp.
Ann Voskamp, right.
Who is she, Ray?
She is a very well-known. The women in the audience will know her. She's a writer and quite well-respected, yeah.
Bill and Lynn Hybels of Willow Creek Community Church.
Right.
Everybody knows who that is. Max Lucado, a well-known Christian author. By the way, again, we did call Max Licato's office and invite him on to this program to discuss this, but he's on a sabbatical. His secretary said he wouldn't be available till the summer. Is that right, Walker?
Yeah, very long and convenient sabbatical. But anyways.
A little sarcasm coming from I guess he learned it from his daddy. But anyway.
Well, he's
hey, let me just say this. Max Licato's a wonderful Christian author.
Yeah, he is.
And
yeah.
He is a sincere man of God. We've played his commentary for years here. Nobody's questioning this is a poorly, in my opinion, a poorly thought out a condemnation of President Trump. These people like Max Licato, they can still do their job of reaching out to the poor and suffering of the world while we can still have security. They should not be questioning President Trump on this issue. That's his job, not theirs. They can do their job. These Christian leaders can do their job, even with the temporary travel ban.
Right.
So to try to make President Trump look bad, and you're a Christian leader, is wrong. That's my way of reading this. Fred, I don't know if you've got a different view of this. Is it something on our Facebook
page? Yeah, okay. I posted it.
Okay, go to Facebook. Today's issues. Walker just posted the article we're talking about. Go ahead, Walker.
But what's really unfortunate about all of this is the signees on that, for the most part, most of them, I believe, spoke out against Trump in the election about some of his vulgarity, his character flaws, etc., which is fine. I respect that. But they don't represent the majority of evangelicals in this country. 81% of evangelicals voted for Trump, which leaves 19% who did not. The people who signed that letter represent the 19% who did not vote for Trump.
Here's what's disturbing, though. They are helping the misinformation campaign.
Right.
By signing this letter and, you know, they put it in the Washington Post. Come on. Washington Post, one of the most liberal newspapers in the country.
Right.
First of all, you know, do you have to use that vehicle? And, you know, these people could come on a program like this and say, hey, here's my concern. But, you know, it is for 90 to 120 days. That's all we're talking about. We're not putting a ban up on people coming in as refugees from this country.
Right.
What Donald Trump is trying to do, President Trump is attempting to do, is put up some barriers to try to keep the bad guys out. That's all he is trying to do. And, you know, Chris, this court case that's involved now with the Ninth Circuit, we'll probably get a decision out of that panel today sometime. But these untruths that are being mixed in here, and it's got to be deliberate in many cases. Surely by now, most intelligent people understand this is a temporary suspension. That's all it is.
Yeah.
How many times do we have to say that?
Yeah. Well, there.
And it's already been stayed for the moment anyway, pending whatever the Ninth Circuit does, right?
Right, that's correct.
So this is, to me, when I read the statement, I agree with the part about showing concern for refugees. I just thought the statement was unbalanced. There should have been something in there stating the importance of secure borders for our nation, and I found that lacking completely.
Right. Well, to feel the need to take out... To spend $50,000 or whatever a full-page ad cost in the Washington Post, probably cost more than that. These guys feel strongly enough about that. Max Licato and Timothy Keller and others feel strongly enough about the need to condemn President Trump's actions. That was disturbing to me.
Well, and the group sponsoring all of this is World Relief. Let's not to mention they received millions of federal funds for taking in refugees. So they might have a conflict of interest here.
Yeah. We'll be back momentarily. We are going to play. You're going to want to hear this. The comments from Senator Marco Rubio on the Senate floor last night. You're going to want to hear that. That's coming up after the news.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.